David, chapter 27, 1 Samuel chapter 27. If everybody's there, say amen. We're going to read just a little while, and I want you to hold this, and then we'll come back. The Bible said, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so I shall escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maoch, the king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, and he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more for him. And David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country, that I may dwell there, for why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day, wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezerites and the Amalekites and those nations that were of old, the inhabitants of the land, as thou goest to Shur, even unto the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, took away the sheep, the oxen, the asses, the camels, the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, whither have you made a road today? And David said, against the south of Judah and against the south of Jerah-Melites and against the south of the Kenites. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwelleth in the land, the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, saying, he had made his people Israel utterly to abhor him, therefore he shall be my servant forever. I hope that you notice there in the passage of Scripture that David lied to this man. And if you study the geographics of it, you'll find out David lied to him. Then chapter 28, we're going to read a couple of verses here and then jump to chapter 30. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. Chapter 30, and we're going to read verse number 1. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Remember that Ziklag was the city that Achish, one of the kings of the Philistines, gave to David. Verse number 2. And he, the Amalekites, had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. David's people, while he was out fighting a war, his wives and children and his men's wives and children had been taken captive. And let's pray and then we'll get into the message. Lord, we call upon you again this evening to help us preach the word of God. Lord, you have taught clearly that you are a shepherd, that pastors are under shepherds and they're to feed the flock of God. Lord, we need to feed the Word of God. That's the only thing, Lord, that counts. The only thing that will help folks. And I pray, God, tonight that you help me to do that with the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, tonight that the Holy Ghost will preach on the inside of people's hearts while I try to preach from the outward. And that you'll speak to them on the inside of their minds and their hearts while I preach. Lord, unless you come, this is all vanity. It's just another group of people meeting somewhere. But Lord, if you'll come tonight and help us and be in our midst, Lord, it'll be altogether different, and we'll get help and encouragement and strength tonight and wisdom. Lord, we'll get grace to confess our sins, to turn from our sins, Lord, and we'll get, Lord, the strength we need to go out and live for you this week. So, God, I pray tonight that you'll help us in seeing this great situation that came into David's life, what Satan did to him right here. Help us, Lord, to get under the surface and see it for what it is and then apply it to our lives. God, I pray in Jesus' name, help us. Lord, I pray tonight there's folks here tonight that's not saved. They don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They've never repented of their sin, been born again of the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray before this over, the Holy Ghost will make it clear as a bell to them that they can be saved. Lord, they can be forgiven. They can know the Lord Jesus Christ, that He can give them a new life, eternal life. God, that they can become a Christian. And Lord, I pray tonight that it'd be a difference, Lord, they'd see the difference between religion and Christianity. God, help us tonight, we pray. Bless these families and homes. Strengthen them, we pray. And we ask God tonight especially for those in our congregation that are elderly, that are weak, that are feeble, that are sick, that are aged. Lord, we just ask you, God, would you please comfort those people? Lord, we've got so many of them and they need your help. And comfort them tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I stopped at a beer joint on the way to church tonight and got me a bottle of booze. I want to tell you what it is. I don't generally stop at the devil's beer joint, but to preach this message tonight I did because I thought it'd really help me preach and be an example. This is a bottle that comes out of the devil's distillery called the Devil's Discouragement. The Devil's Discouragement. You see, a lot of you folks here tonight would never stop at a beer joint and get you a pack of Bud Light or some Jack Daniels or Boone's Farm Apple Wine. You wouldn't do that. But you know what you will do? The devil, you Christians have a bad problem of stopping at the devil's beer joint and getting him a six pack. We're just going to look at one of the bottles of beer tonight that the devil will give you. But this one here is called the Devil's Discouragement. It's guaranteed to wreck and ruin your life. And I'm preaching mostly to Christians tonight, but it does say down here at the bottom that it works every time. You know what we'll do? We'll stop and get that, and then we'll take a big swig of discouragement. I've never seen a time in my life when Christian people are so discouraged. They're so discouraged. And pray that I don't take so much of this that I'm drunk before I get over with discouragement. If we're not careful, we'll get drunk, spiritually drunk, on discouragement. David is one of the greatest men in the Bible, but I'm so glad God put these chapters in the Bible because the Bible said in the New Testament, these things are written for our examples. God wants you to learn something out of these men's lives. Let me tell you something. David's life consisted of a lot more than killing Goliath. Everybody knows about David killing Goliath, and it consists of a lot more than his situation with Bathsheba. The Bible has a lot to say about David. As far as I'm concerned, this is one of the darkest pictures in David's life recorded. I want to remind you that from the time that David is mentioned in Scripture, that God's power and blessing and accompaniment and protection had been with him. We know from the Scripture that when David was a shepherd boy, a lion came to get a sheep out of the flock, and David smote the lion. Now, that's no little deal, and that's not just some Sunday school story. He literally killed a lion, and also a bear came to take a sheep out, and he smote him, grabbed his beard, smote him and killed him, delivered the sheep out of his mouth. Then we find out that David comes the Lord anoints him to be king of Israel. Now, God is on this boy. God is blessing this boy's life. Then he comes up to the battle there at Elah, the battle of Elah, and there's Goliath. David says, hey, who's this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of the Lord? Goes down there with his sling and five stones and kills the giant. Now, that sounds to me like a guy that God's favor's on. Yeah. And God helped him escape from, so then, you know how it is, he got popular with Israel, and Saul got jealous, and Saul starts trying to kill him. Did you know what? Somewhere around 18, 19 times in the Bible, God protects David from Saul trying to kill him. Supernaturally protected him, surrounded him, kept him. You know, I mean, God was watching over him. Did you know the Bible says that the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him? Do you know the reason Satan hadn't killed you, Saint, tonight? Because God's kept you alive. You're a Christian. The devil wants to kill you or put you. If he can't knock you out far spiritually and make you a bad testimony, he'd just soon you be dead. We are absolutely favored and blessed by the presence of Almighty God in our life as children of the Lord. I kind of noticed that the daddies of this church kind of watch out for their kids. How much more our Heavenly Father watches out for his children, and he's watching out over David's life. But David actually, and think about this, David had just in chapter 26, before we read these verses in 27, David was in battle, Saul was after David, and God so supernaturally protected this man that he allowed him and another man to walk literally into the camp of Saul while they were asleep at night, walk right up to Saul where he was sleeping. God put Saul and his army in a deep sleep, took his crews and so forth and his spear, walks out of there, didn't kill him, gets up on the mountainside and hollers back at him and shows him the power of God in his life, that God had allowed him to get that close to him. God allowed him to where he got to a place he could have killed him and didn't do it. Now, I'm telling you something. What I'm trying to lay out to you is a massive, unbelievable, amazing protection and power that God had given in David's life. How many would agree to that? Now you watch now. Now that just happened at the end of chapter 26. Look at with me again at chapter 27. Look what David says. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. You say, Reggie, what happened? There's a principle in life, and it's in the Bible too, that at the times of your greatest spiritual victories, you better be walking low. At the greatest point of your triumph is the greatest point of your vulnerability. When you think, man, I just experienced great victory in the Lord, or things are going great, watch out. Now, here's what Satan came to David with. Now, this is unbelievable, and it doesn't make sense to us, but we're guilty of it too. I'm guilty of it. If God does allows me to, at the end of this message, I'm going to tell you a personal story that happened just this week with me. And I can't believe how God's timing is on these messages. I've had this message now for 3 weeks. I've preached, almost preached this morning. I prayed right at the last. I even told Van. I said, Van, I just don't know what to do, whether to show that film or to preach this message. And the Lord said, nope, show the film. So I did that. But here's what David did. David had just had the power of God delivered him. And you know what he does? He stops at the devil's beer joint, takes a bottle of discouragement, and starts drinking it. And there seems to be no reason in the world for him to do that. God just supernaturally delivered him. He turns right around and says, now watch this. I shall now perish one day at the hand of Saul. Now you listen to me. As far as I'm concerned, right here, Jerry Falwell said, one of the greatest things I ever heard that man say was this. The greatest test of a man's life is what it takes to discourage him. And I have never seen a time in my life when Christians are so discouraged when they ought to be encouraged in this country. Let me tell you something. If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is He. Now these are, let me tell you something tonight. That's more than just verses to quote and act spiritual with. It is a reality. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God was for David and protecting David, why on earth did he all of a sudden say, oh my land, I'm going to perish someday. And he said it in his heart. Here's what was going on. Satan was attacking him with all kinds of discouragement and things to mess him up with. And here's the thing I want to say to you. David's greatest battles were not with Goliath. They were not with the bear. They were not with the lion. They were not with his brothers. They were not with the Philistines. David's greatest battles are the same greatest battles you and I are going to have. They're within. Satan, you could have a great time here at church tonight. You could be walking with the Lord, having a wonderful time. And by this time, tomorrow night, you could be sitting in deep despair. You're discouraged. You want to quit. You want to give up on God. All you can see is the bad. You've got the whole nine yards there. And that's the way it is with you and I. Proverbs 23:7 says something that reveals what was going on really with David. The Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's not what I pop off with my mouth up here behind the pulpit. But it's what I am tomorrow morning. It's what I am tomorrow evening. It's what I am Wednesday. It's what I really am. And the Bible teaches us in Ephesians chapter 6 that because of this, we need to put on the whole armor of God. Because Satan is going to come at you with discouragement. And if he can get you to sit around and drink this junk, you will be messed up and ruined for your use of God. David was experiencing an attack on his mind and his heart. Satan was planting lies in David's mind and in his heart. You and I have to learn to perceive and discern and pick up when Satan is throwing and shooting his fiery darts of discouragement into our minds. And we need to learn how to reject them and replace them with the truth of God Almighty. Sam Waltz did a deal here for the school not too long ago. And he was giving a spiritual lesson with his bow. And he was talking about his service in the Army and situations that they come into. And I'll never forget this. He said this statement. Sam, straighten me up if I get it wrong. He said, when in the battle, he talked about this, he said, you have to be trained in physical warfare to the point of your reactions are automatic. You don't even think about it. And he says the same in spiritual warfare, that if you're not trained, if you haven't trained yourself or been trained in spiritual warfare and you have to think about it, you're whipped already. He said, when we're in a situation of a crisis situation and we have to think about what we're going to do, you're dead. You have to be trained spiritually to a point when Satan attacks you like he did David here. And by the way, it will come often after you've had a big victory when you should have said, man, life, this is evidence that God is with me. This is evidence that God's going to take me through. This is evidence of God's protection. It's at that point, Satan is bold. Now listen to me. Satan is bold. He will come at you when you think, well, everything's going good. Everything's going fine. He is not only bold, but he is persistent. He came boldly to the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of this world, the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of this world, Satan came to him. He had that much boldness to try Christ. If you'll try Christ, he's going to try you. By the way, he was at the end of a 40-day fasting period of Jesus Christ. And he came to him. Not only that was he bold, but he was persistent. He didn't just try one time. He didn't give up on the second try. He came back the third try, and the Bible said he just left him for a season. You need to expect spiritual warfare. Here's what I'm seeing across this country. Things come down the pike of your life. Life gets tough. Life gets rough. Things don't go like you wanted. It's just tough. Everything, you know, things are not falling in place like you wanted to. And Satan just starts firing this discouragement darts at you. And the next thing you know, we'll smile on the outside, and we ought to. But I'm telling you, on the inside, we're wondering if, well, God has forgot me. God's let me go. Is it going to work out? I don't know. Where's God? What's going on in my life? And I'm saying to you, this is the thing that he was dealing with. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The Bible said that we're to cast down, watch this, we're to cast down imaginations. What's that mean? Throw them out of your mind. If David would have stopped right there at the first of chapter 27 and said, where in the world did that stupid thought come from? That Saul's going to kill me? He's had 18 or 19 chances and God's protected me every time. Why should I entertain that thought? How many of you have made it so far? All right, can I tell you something? You're going to make it the rest of the way. And when God says your time's up on this earth and you're saved, he's taking you to glory land. You are going to make it. Now, you may not have as much money as you'd like when you leave. You may not have as much land as you'd like when you leave. I don't know about it, but I'm going to tell you something. Listen, God is going to take care of you. He's told us not to lay up our treasures here on earth. He's told us to set our affections on things above. And God is in charge, and God's going to take care of you. And there's no point in you sitting here tonight and wondering, well, I tell you what, I just don't know how it's going to work out. Man, I tell you what, I just will give up. David was allowing imaginations and the lies of Satan to penetrate his mind. This will cause you, as it did David, to make wrong and damaging decisions that will not only affect you, but will affect everybody around you. I'll remind you, there were 600 men and their families that followed David in making this decision. David, as a result of chapter 26, God's presence and power shown in his life, should have been encouraged. He should have said, good land living. If God's protected me this far, if God's took me through what I've went through so far, why should I doubt about the future? But he didn't do that. And that's a David, that man after God's own heart. You need to learn that Satan will come after you, that when things have gone well and when you've been walking with God and been obedient, he'll still come after you. Satan is bold and persistent, as I said. Jesus in Matthew 4, again, Satan bold coming at him. And Satan is in the discouragement business. And let me tell you why. If he can discourage you, he will stop your usableness and your power and the work of God in your life and what God's design and purpose was for you. Now, I said this here is a bottle of discouragement. You can take a swig of distraction. David got distracted. Let me tell you, I believe it was Jeremy preached a message on distraction about driving down the road. Man, I'm telling you what, that message stayed with me. When you got a phone, that's a distraction. It's a wonder I ain't been dead already. I'm dangerous. I don't need a phone in my hand on the road. Amen? That's a distraction. You know what happened to David right here? He got his eyes off of God, got his eyes on Saul, got his eyes on what was going around physically instead of having his eyes on the promises and the protection of Almighty God. The Bible said in Hebrews 12:1, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Here's what Satan wants to do is detract you from the truth. The truth was God had protected him. The truth was God was with him. The truth was God was blessing him. The truth was there was no reason to run anywhere. There was no reason especially to go to the land of the Philistines. You get you distracted from these days. David said in his heart, there in verse number 1, he said it in his heart. He got his eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing the devil have you doing is taking a big old drink of deception. Deception. Now I want you to look at this passage of scripture with me again, verse number 1. David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. That was an absolute bald-faced, idiotic lie. He should have known better, and he verbalized a lie himself. Let me tell you why. Had not God anointed him, had not God said you're going to be king over Israel, for David to believe what he just said, he had to make God out to be a liar. Did you know the Bible says that God will perform that which pertaineth to you? Yeah. God's going to perform that which... I'm going to tell you something. All the devils in hell cannot keep God from doing through your life what he's going to do. When God decrees something, it's going to happen. David should have never believed that lie. What on earth would he say, I'm going to perish someday, that's all. 18 times, what's he going to do? Well, the 22nd time, David, you're going to get killed. See, it didn't make sense. He had believed a lie. He had took a big old drink of deception. How many times have you took a big old drink of deception? You started believing the imaginations that the devil puts in your heart. He had anointed to be king. The Bible, what's this? Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You don't have to be under bondage of depression and discouragement and all that junk. You don't have to believe those lies. You've got to get away from the distraction, and you have to get away from the deception. John 8:44 says the devil is a liar and the father of it. And you always want to remember that. When something's coming down the pike to you that is not according with the word of God for your life and the promises of God to you, you need to recognize him for the liar that he is, and don't believe it and don't practice it. And by the way, he says, there's nothing better for me to do. Oh, really? Nothing better. Nothing better for me to do than leave. The third thing, he took a swig of the wrong decision. Look in verse number 1. He said there, verse number 2, I'm sorry. David arose and he passed over. He made a wrong decision. Can I tell you that when you believe the devil's lies, you are going to make wrong decisions? Let me give you a good example of that tonight. I think I'll just leave my wife. That's a wrong decision. That's a wrong decision. I think I'll just leave my husband. That's a wrong decision. You're spending too much time listening to the devil. You say, oh God, it can't be worked out. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. I'm telling you, there's not a problem you're going to run into. Running from God is not going to fix your problem. Believing God and trusting God, you'll see the power of God in your life. Then you'll have a testimony. The third next thing, he began to be driven. He took a big old swig of discouragement, and then he got driven. Let me tell you what God does. God leads, Satan drives. And Satan, by listening to Satan's lies, he drove him out of Israel. Watch this. This is crazy. He drove him to the king of the Philistines, straight into the land of Gath. G-A-T-H. Does anybody know where that was from? Where was Goliath from? Gath. He was called Goliath of Gath. Do you realize what's happened to this man? He has been driven by the lies of Satan, discouraging him about the truth of God's protection and God's power and God's blessing in his life. He's been driven now out of the land of, walking in the land of God, been driven to the home of his enemies and the enemies of Israel and the enemies of God. It blows my mind away, Brother Jim, that this man with the protection and the power of God. Let me give you this illustration tonight. As a pastor tonight, there every year there's a 24 things that could discourage me out and could say, Reg, you just well quit, you just well give up, you're not doing any good, it's not worth it, and blah, 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 lie, 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 lie. And I could say, well, I'm just going to blow it. I'm going to Montana, bless God, and live the rest of my life out. That's what people do. That's what people do. I want to tell you something. God didn't give you your life just to blow it. God gave you your life to count. I'm just one of these guys. I ain't letting the devil. He may lie to me 2 or 3 days, but after a while, I'm getting up out of the ditch. Amen. I'm not going to lay in the gutter all my life and sit there tell me another lie, buddy. I ain't doing that. I'm going to get back in the Bible. I'm going to get back on my knees. I'm going to get back in claiming the promises of God. So he made a stupid decision. Look what he said. Look what he said there in verse number 1. He said, in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me. Oh, really? There's nothing better. Nothing better than just to quit. Nothing better than just leave. I'm telling you something. That's one of the worst lies out of hell I ever heard in my life. Don't you let the devil tell you this junk. Don't you let him drive you into making a decision that gets you out of God's land into the devil's land and walking right into the arms of your enemy. He said then, what's what he said? Nothing better, I should speedily escape. Oh, really? You just got through being supernaturally protected. And he's in a hurry now to get away and run from God and run from the protection of God and the place of God. Well, he's been driven. Now, I'm going to tell you what will drive you. Fear will drive you. Worry will drive you. Unbelief will drive you. Not being led of God. The next thing you know, you're not making the decisions of life. Everything you're doing is being driven by the lies of Satan. How you believed his lies. Boy, I want to tell you something. I want to get a hold of this thing tonight. By the way, it drove him to be rash. Now you listen to me. It's never wise to make an important decision in a hurry. Unless it's right there on the road and you got to decide which way you're pulling the car. By and large, most of your decisions in life, if somebody's rushing you, back up. Say, I'll let you know tomorrow. this is a sign that he's believed a lie, that he's headed the wrong direction, that he's took the wrong drink. And now he's hurrying up. Oh man, we gotta go, we gotta go. That fear was driving him. That worry was driving him. Those lies were driving him. And then he took a swig of the wrong direction. As I said a while ago, in verse number 2 and 3, it find out there says, he arose and passed over 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maoch, the king of Gath. Can you believe what you're hearing here? David dwelt with Achish with Gath. Going down there in verse number, there's another place that says that he went down and stayed with Gath. He got in the wrong direction. Can I tell you that when you start believing the lies of the devil and letting, listen to me tonight. This is a big subject for me. One of the reasons is I have to fight discouragement hard. Every week. Every week I fight discouragement. Every week I fight the devil telling me you're no good. You're sorry. You're worthless. You're not a good pastor. You're a rinky-dink preacher. Every week he feeds me just stuff like that. You know what? I agree with my adversary a lot. I am no good. But why leave? Let me tell you something. It's been a rough 2.5 years for me. I've had people that I literally have been in this church with for years have left this church. Some of them have never said the first word to me. And I'm just not a good pastor. I don't usually go and say anything unless they talk to me. I don't know. I'm just afraid I'm going to hear stuff that I'll have a hard time ever getting out of my ears. But let me tell you something this evening. I'm not going to drink a drink of discouragement. Let me give you something. God told me something one night, and I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and I put it on my desk where I could see it all the time. Keep on keeping on. Don't even go right, left, sideways, nothing. Just keep on keeping on. Keep preaching the Word of God. Keep pastoring that church. I'm telling you what I sought, Lord, because let me know. If I'm in the way, if I'm in the mess, if I'm a problem, if I'm doing God more harm than good, I want to get out of here. Let God get somebody in here that can do some good. But I never did feel that. Now, one time did I honestly in my heart feel like I should make one kind of move at all. Did you know what God's done in the last 2 years? He's opened up now a ministry to me that would have never happened had I run. Are you listening to me tonight? When you run, you're going to miss what God's got for you. I prayed yesterday. I put out that little deal. God opened up that Facebook ministry. And old brother Mike Hoggard, the dead of me, he's going to get to, you know, again. Like the preacher said this morning, pass the praise somebody else. I put out 15 to 16. Did you know right now I'm somewhere between 30 and 35,000 people have viewed those things? How could have I ever, that's more people than I've ever reached in my life in 1 month. But if I'd have ran in discouragement, if I'd have quit in discouragement and said there's nothing better for me than to speedily escape, get out from underneath the pressure, get out from underneath the problems, I never would have seen that. Yesterday I prayed. I said, Lord, now I'm going to tell you a little story. I put out that Who in Hell Cares little clip. And I said to myself, I did it almost on the cuff. I mean, I'd already made 2 clips. I was getting ready to leave, and I just thought about it. And I thought, well, I'll go ahead and cut that while I'm here. And I wasn't wild about it because I thought, nobody wants to hear about hell in America no more. And I thought, nobody will listen to it. So I cut it. I was sitting on the side of the picnic table, put the camera out there, and just cut the thing. 3 or 4 or 5 days later, I got up one morning. It's like I was going to put this one on. It's like the Lord just said, put Who in Hell Cares on. I said, well, Lord, nobody's going to listen to it. They're going to see that. Probably people totally quit listening to me because, oh, he's going to preach on hell. He's no hellfire and brimstone preacher. I got hit with that this week. Hellfire and brimstone. So I said to myself, nobody listened to it. You know what I did? I just obeyed God. I said, well, if they all quit listening, they all quit listening. I put that thing on, and immediately that counter started going. You know what I found out? I didn't know nothing. And I better obey God. Yesterday, it's 4,800. I prayed. I said, Lord, just do me a favor and show me you're working. Make that thing hit 5,000. This afternoon, it hit 5,000. You know what I'm talking about? You tell me. If I'd have said, well, folks left. People left. For 35 years, God has blessed me. For 35 years, God has protected me. For 35 years, God has honored His Word. For 35 years, we've got the gospel out. For 35 years, God said, Reggie, I'm with you. If I'd have said, well, there's nothing better for me to speedily escape, I'd have never seen what I've seen the last month. You see what I'm saying? You want to be really, really careful about getting discouraged and moving under discouragement because it'll rob you of everything God wants to happen in your life. I'm telling you tonight it will. He was driven and he went to the wrong directions. Can you believe he went? You know what? I want to tell you something tonight. You're in this church house and you say, well, I'll tell you what. I don't see anybody going to the altar. I don't see anybody getting saved. I don't do this. I don't see that. That'd be like God told me, said, well, it just looks like a Reg Kelly show to me up there. And I don't know what you're going to go through. I don't know. And you may say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm just not getting something out of service. I don't know. But I can tell you this much. The answer is don't go to the Philistines. The answer is don't go down to the Philistines. I can't believe this. When I really started meditating on the passage of Scripture, and I'm thinking, here's David, blessed of God, God's really been good to him, and he just decides one day, because of discouragement, I'm going to go over to Gath. Now, let me tell you something. Those people's Philistines was tickled to death to see him. That's what's sad. This is the future king of Israel. This is the anointed of God. And hey, baby, he got all discouraged and quit church. You know what he was? At that point in his life, he was nothing but a trophy on the walls of hell. And you know what got him there? Sitting down drinking this stuff. Can I tell you something tonight? This is poison. This is nasty stuff. If you sit around your house drinking discouragement, you're going to experience what David experienced tonight. And your preacher don't want you to do it, and I don't want to do it. He went into the land of the Philistines, away from God's people, away from God's land. Then here's something I noticed about it in verse number 3. It says David dwelt. He dwelt. He got settled in. Can I tell you something? Now listen to me. You remember this 10 years from now. You Zen boys. Are you Zen boys? Back here, I'm going to tell you something. You got a daddy loves you. You got a mama loves you. You got a good, you boys got a good mama, right? Your daddy? I don't know about him so much, but your mama a good mama, right? Okay. I'm going to tell you guys something. You remember this. If you, and I'm telling the rest of you, you get out of church. If you ever stop coming to church, let me tell you what happens. If you ain't careful, you'll sit at the house one Sunday. You'll sit at the house one Sunday night and Wednesday night and another Sunday. And first thing you know, you're dwelling there. You're dwelling out of the land of God. You're getting settled in. Doesn't matter that much anymore. I got discouraged. There's a lot of things can discourage in church. I thank God. This morning I got kind of tickled at y'all. I couldn't hardly get y'all settled down visiting each other in the middle of service, you know. And I like it. I hate to kind of say, you know, I hate to say, hey, we need to get back here and have church. But you can get hurt in church. You can get wounded in church. You can get discouraged in church. These are the people you're coming in contact with, by the way. How many know, there's a guy in Illinois, in Peoria, Illinois. He is a rotten egg. Y'all know him? I'm telling you, you ought to think about him for 2 or 3 days and how bad he is. You know why you don't think about how bad he is? You don't even know him. Are you following me? It's the people you're living around in contact with that you're going to have problems with. And you better not let them discourage you. That's why you and your wife have so much trouble. Amen. I mean, if me and Karen didn't live together, I wouldn't, you know, she'd never make me mad. I might see her and think, man, she's one of the nicest gals in the world. But living with her, that's another thing. Amen. I'm just being honest with you. But anyway, he got settled in there. This is where the devil really wants you at. He wants you settled back out of the hand of God, out of the land of God, out of the place of God, and dwelling there. And the next thing is, now I'm going to show you, here's what's wild. I read this, Brother Phil, I said, that's Reggie Kelly. David, God put this story of David in there just for me, if he didn't for anybody else. When I seen this, I said, that's Reggie Kelly. Watch this now. I'm going to talk about the delusion next from the discouragement. Look down at verse number 5. This is wild. David said unto Achish. Now, who's Achish? King of Philistines, living at Gath, God's enemy. If I have now found, watch this stupid statement, grace in thine eyes, let them give me, underline it, a place in some town in the country. Oh, Lord, if I leave the work of God and the people of God and the place of God, Lord, just give me a little old 5 acres in a cabin up in Montana where I can see the other side of the mountain and watch the elk come out. Oh, if I just had, David said it in the Psalms, oh, that I had wings like a dove and could fly away and be at rest. Lord, I just want some little old place out in the country, and I want away from the pressure, and I want away from the trouble, and I want away from the worry, and I want away from the fear, and Saul's been after me, and I just want rest. That's a delusion. That's a delusion. You're liable to buy your 5 acres in Montana, and there'll be an idiot that joins you who's walking his fence with an AK-47 all night long. I mean, you think you're going to go someplace and it's going to be just perfect peace and everything. You're going to find out he's sitting over there. You got your 5 acres. He's over there got a boom box with rock and roll music. Boom, 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 boom. Or he's got about 65 puppies. And you say, man, I bought this 5 acres to have peace. And then you get your AK-47. Boom, 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 boom. Puppy killing business. And then your lawsuit. And then you wish you never saw Montana. It's a delusion. If you're not at peace with God where you're at, you won't be at peace with God where the devil's leading you to, driving you to. Well, anyway, Then that got him to a big old swig of double-mindedness. This goes to chapter 29, part of chapter. Look at chapter 28. Chapter 28, verse number 1. It came to pass in those days the Philistines gathered their armies together for war to fight with who? And Ishish said to David, know thou surely that thou shalt go out with me to battle down thy men. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Make sure. Let's read that again. Let's read that again. Am I reading that right? Help me understand if I'm reading this right. Here's David, who as a boy came up to the battlefield. Philistines are fighting Israel. Goliath's down there. David says, who's this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armor of the Lord? I'll go fight him. David goes down, kill him. Goliath of death. Now David is clear on the other side of the universe. He is over here and Ishish is saying, hey, David, get your sword on. We're fixing to go fight Israel. Are you listening to me? Listen to me tight. Listen to me tight. I have seen people who at one time would shake your hand in this church house and other church houses and hug you and say and pray with them, brothers in the Lord. Next thing I know, they're saying stupid stuff about our church. Woo! Next thing I know, Brother Phil, they're over in the land of the Philistines talking about Liberty Faith Church, talking about the people of Liberty Faith Church, talking about God's work. That's where discouragement will take you. Do not drink this junk. A little discouragement took him a long way. I can't believe this. This is David, who is, by the way, you read your Bible, I ain't got time to read it all. He was willing to go with them to fight Israel. Bad case. Get serious now. And I'll tell you what happened. We'll see it in a little bit. And if it had not been, now watch this. I'm going to give you some good news because I hate to tell you this. None of us are above this happening to us. Did you know I can sit up here tonight and preach to you about fight discouragement. Don't be discouraged. And by Thursday this week going, I'm done. Outside of the providential grace of God Almighty. That is the truth. Double-mindedness. All of a sudden he used to be, and he knows he ought to be walking with God's people, but now he's double-minded. Now he has been driven by discouragement to where he's joining up with the Philistines of Gath. And let me tell you something. It's a very good thing that God stepped in. What happened? You read your, I'm not going to take time to read it. God stepped in, literally stepped in and providentially stopped David from fighting against his own people. And I want to tell you why God providentially stepped in. David had pulled the sword on his own people, Brother Coop. He had lost Israel's respect forever. You can't tell me that if David had come out, and the Bible calls it the re-reward. David was at, here's where he was. You read that Bible here. The Bible said David was in the re-reward of the Philistine armies. That means he was at the back. How'd you like to have been an Israelite over here? And you're fighting those Philistines. Watch this now. You're fighting those Philistines. You're fighting the enemies of God. You're working for the Lord. And all of a sudden you bust through and here comes some of your own people swinging their sword at you, David. 600 men. That's exactly where Satan wants to take you through discouragement. This is not light stuff tonight. This is how the enemy works. He will have, isn't this amazing? He will have you and I fighting our own brethren. God supernaturally stepped in, pulled him out. You have to read it, see how God did it. It's amazing where discouragement will take you. Jump to chapter 30 and we'll get done. Chapter 30. They have, in between this story is the story of Saul and the witch of Endor. And we're not going there at all tonight. May not go there at all. I don't know for sure. But there's this battle situation. David providentially has been taken by the Lord and cut out of that so he wasn't fighting against his own people. And when he goes back to Ziklag, by the way, now watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. What was the town that Ishish gave David to live in? Ziklag. David leaves Ziklag to go down to battle. God providentially protects him. David comes back to Ziklag, and let's see what happens. Came to pass, verse 1, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites. Does anybody in this church know who the Amaleks represent in Old Testament typology? The flesh. Now this is critical here. The Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And taking the women captives that were therein, they slew them not, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And so David and his men came to the city. Behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, and their daughters were taken captive. I think you get the message. What will happen to you if you let discouragement drive you in your life. Satan will get your wife and children. Ooh. Gives me the shudders. Tells me how dangerous discouragement is and not dealing with it. And all the garbage that comes down the pike with it. Now, I'm glad that the story doesn't end there. But look. This is wild. There is no book in the world like the Bible. Nothing in the world like the Bible. Verse number 4. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. Until they had no more power to weep. Wonder what you'd be like tonight if you come back to your home and your wife and your children's all gone. Can I tell you, there's been many a man who got discouraged, went off into the devil's territory, left the place of God, the people of God, got messed up, got him a little place, left it all, got discouraged, said, I'll tell you what, I'm tired of fighting, I'm tired of it. God providentially protected them. And they come back, but they find out things ain't like they were. If you're not careful, you lose your family over being driven by discouragement. Your children do not need to see you discouraged. Let me tell you something, Daddy. Your children need to see you getting the truck, the car started, your clothes on Sunday morning, and we're heading to church. They need to see you praying. They need to see you reading your Bible. They need to see you living for God. You need to make sure that you're not walking around the house discouraged. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. I deal with this. I fight this constantly. And I doubt if I'm the only one this church house does. You know, we can be excited. We can be thrilled. We can be with God. My wife, she's different than I am. I'm glad. She's more steady, more like that, just stable. You know, she doesn't get shook up. I don't think it occurs in her mind to walk away from God. But some of you may be like me. You know, you're kind of up and down. You're a malaria type Christian. Chilling the fever. And if you're not careful, you can get discouraged. And then here's what another thing happens. Events of life like David, circumstances come in. And the next thing you know, no matter what God's done for you in the past, all you can see is this bad stuff. And here's what's wild. They cried till they wept until they had no power to weep. David's two wives were taken captives. And then verse 6, here's what happens. Watch this. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. He fled to get away from getting killed by Saul. Hey, folks, it don't pay to walk away from God. I would rather have had Saul chasing me than 600 men ready to stone me. He fled to escape for his life. And where did it bring him? To where his own men wanted to kill him. It does not pay to run from God. It does not pay to get discouraged. But you know what the good part about it is? And I love this about the Lord. God does not leave this story there. Read it with me. In verse number 6. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But O.J. Frank Norris preached a message one time. He's long gone to heaven. But he preached a message one time, but. And he takes the buts of the Bible and talks about how God, but God, but God, but God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. David, right here at this moment, he's over here. He's totally gotten messed up. His discouragement, his fear, and his worry drove him away from God. All kinds of things went with it. Got him there. Got him such a mess, he was willing to fight his own people. Then he got in such a mess, his own people was ready to kill him. And then something happens. And I'm going to tell you tonight, as a witness before Almighty God, I've been there. I told you in the start of the message, I'd tell you a true story. Please don't take this wrong, but I'm a preacher. God called me to preach. I am told to go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? My heart is just, I've done a lot of it, but I'm saying that if that wasn't the focal part of my life would not be fulfilling. I wouldn't have purpose and I'd be in a mess, and I know it would be. That's what God called me to do. Well, this Facebook thing come in, Brother Mike brought the whole thing down. He brought the iPad down, the steel down, the mic down, takes me out in the woods, shows how to do this, you know, the whole thing. And Susanna, and everybody's been helping me. But here's what I'm saying. And so, man, I've just been so thrilled that God's opened up another ministry, another way to get, because Mike told me this. He said, Reggie, you listen to me. He said, yes. He said, you folks have put out CDs for a long time. But he said, can I tell you, this younger generation are not listening to CDs. Right. Yeah, your truckers, your older generation, they're going to keep listening to them. But Reggie, you're missing this generation. And if you don't get on social media, you're not going to reach this generation at all. You're going to fade off. And he was right. But I never realized. He said, Reggie, they're not even hardly watching TV. If you don't reach them through their phone, you're not going to reach this generation. And he said, I'm talking about young married couples 30, in their 30s and under. If you don't get on social media and your church does not get involved in social media, you are going to miss them. They're not even going to know you folks exist. So after 2 years, I finally said, well, man alive, I'm going, my goodness sakes alive. I'm thankful for the CD deal. I'm thankful for the sermon audio. We get, 6,000 to 8,000 a month on sermon audio and around the world. And by the way, that was a seed planting thing for this. Because a lot of this stuff on Facebook now is coming from the people that's been listening to sermon audio for the last 15 years. Okay? So God was building. But what I'm saying is this, is that I was all excited. Brother Dennis, I was like, boy, I'm 63 years old and God's opened up a new ministry. I'm just thrilled and just happy, you know. And I'm watching these people view this and boy, just seem like God uses it. I had a lady sent a message to me today, said, please pray for my husband. My husband, she said, I played it so he could hear it. Pray that he does something with this message. Who in hell cares? You know, now I'm excited. And then Brother Terry, this is Sunday and it was Thursday. A cloud of discouragement came over me like I haven't had in I don't know how long. Maybe years. And Karen will vouch this. I mean, I didn't hardly want to talk to her. I didn't want her to be around nobody. And it was just the oppression of hell coming in on me. Just, I mean, Terry, to the point of where I just... And this morning I got up and I said, Lord, I can't go to church discouraged. I cannot go to church discouraged. And I prayed. And I sought the Lord. And let me tell you what I did yesterday. I mean, I got in this old book and I started reading. And I tell you what, I walked around our house and I started praying. And I said, God, I can't live in this. And I'm like, Lord, this is what happened to David. I don't know why I'm like this. At a time, God, whenever you're doing more than you've ever done in our church, in our lives, Lord, I ought to be so thrilled and so excited about what you're doing. I'm more discouraged today than I've been in years. And I'm just telling you, and I thank God because tonight I'm okay. I come to church this morning, I was just kind of barely coming up out of the banks of the gutter. And it's good for me to get to church. And I got to church and shake hands with some of the saints. And we sang some songs. And folks started coming in. Then, man, I listened to that message. I just went home just happy as a lark. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to fight discouragement. And I want to say one last thing before we get out of here tonight. Many people have not been saved because they're so discouraged they think they can't be saved. I talked to a person this week who told me, I have done so much bad stuff, it's hard for me to believe God has saved me. You listen to me tonight. If you're here tonight in this service and you're not saved, you're not right with God. You don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't you let the devil discourage you and say, well, he wouldn't save you. Let me tell you right now that Jesus Christ will save anybody. He tasted death for every man. And I'm telling you tonight, don't you sit there and let the devil tell you and discourage you from coming to Christ. That's a lie. All that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. God will save anybody calls on him. Don't you let that discouragement from hell. Don't you drink this junk. Don't you drink this trash. You get rid of it. You put it in the trash can. Some of you tonight need to come up this altar. And Lord's got some trash cans up here. He's got some trash cans for you to dump your discouragement in. And you may have to next month, and you may have to 2 years from now. There's a lot of things. I hate to tell you young married couples this, but your tougher days are ahead of you. Ain't that wonderful to know? Amen. Those kids starting getting older and things go up. Boy, you know, I'll tell you, enjoy them while they're little. They grow up and become idiots. And no, I'm sorry. I should not have said that. Please don't drink this stuff. Long journey back. You know what old David did? This is so wonderful. Verse number 6, it said, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Old David had enough of it, Brother Phil. He said, this ain't working. This is not getting me to where I want to go. He sat down. I just like to envision old David sitting down on a big old rock somewhere. He said, Lord, the night after Saul, you delivered me from him that last time. I got discouraged. I got my eyes off of you, Lord. And I took off. And I thought it was the thing to do, Lord. I wanted out from underneath the pressure. I wanted away from all the trouble. And I went down to Gath, the very place of your enemies. Lord, everything has went south for me since then. Every stinking thing I do has turned out bad. Lord, I'm stopping tonight. And I want to encourage myself and you. And you know how you encourage yourself? You listen to me. David knew that God's mercy was new every morning. David knew God wasn't done. David knew that if he had turned to him, God would hear. If you're here tonight and you've been on a discouragement trip, why don't you encourage yourself in the Lord? Boy, I like what I read next. Look at the next verse. David said to Abiathar. Does anybody know who Abiathar is? He's the priest of God. He's got the ephod. He's the man for prayer. He said, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And look at verse number 8. The first time you've heard it since David left, David inquired at the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord, got back with God, got back to praying. And you know what you'll find out? In that chapter, oh, I like this. Twice, God says, David recovered all. David recovered it all. Because he comes to a place saying, you know what? I've been discouraged long enough. Now I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. I'm going to get back right with God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. If I had my way about it, I'd preach this message to the whole world. I'd preach it to every church in this country. I'd preach it to every preacher in this country. It seems to me like that we're more susceptible to discouragement than anything I know about. And if you're here tonight, number one, and you're a child of God, and you know you can look back and see how God has watched over your life, how He's kept you, how He has sustained you, and yet tonight the devil's tried to tell you that, man alive, he's put a lie in your heart, and you're discouraged. And let me tell you tonight, don't let the devil do a double trick on you and box you in over the pride of admitting to yourself you've been discouraged. Discouragement, there is no temptation taken you but such as common to man. And I would say that discouragement is probably one of the most common temptations there is. And you're going to have to fight it all your life. You're going to have to fight it all your life. But if you'd just like tonight to get out, you say, and reach in the coat pocket, and get that whiskey bottle of discouragement out, bring it up here and lay it on the altar and say, Lord, I'm getting rid of this discouragement. I'm putting it in the trash can. I'm going to encourage myself and you tonight, and I'm going to get back walking with God and get back where I need to get. Would you just slip out of your seat tonight? No music, no, just as I am, just for you tonight. I don't know everybody's heart. I know Reggie had 3 days of it here the other day. Reggie had 3 days of it this week. And I'm telling you, we need it. Would you come? God bless you back there. Amen. What, listen, folks. We know each other. Let's don't play it. Listen, please, if you're under discouragement and you realize that, come and ask God to help you. There's no shame in being. David was discouraged. My soul, if David got discouraged, how much more myself? Now, some of you here tonight may be lost without God, and you're discouraged. You think, well, the Lord could never save me. The Lord couldn't forgive me. Yes, He can. And I'm asking you to come tonight. I want you to come tonight. The Lord can save you. The Lord can forgive you. He can cleanse you, make you His child. Would you come tonight? Would you come? He said, man, I tell you, and boy, I'm going to tell you something. You sit back there saying, boy, I tell you what, and you may be like me. I'm not discouraged. I'm glad for you, brother. I'm glad for you, sister. I pray you'll never be discouraged. But it wouldn't shock me if at one of the highest points in your life, you get hit from the halls of hell with one of the biggest, and you're going to have to recognize what's happening and deal with it quickly and encourage yourself in the Lord and say, I'm not going there. I am not going there. Cast down the imaginations. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Anybody else want to come tonight? You want to come. Say, Lord, I don't intend to live in discouragement. I want to encourage myself in the Lord. Father in heaven, we bow before your presence this evening. Lord, I'm so glad that I can find encouragement from you. I'm glad, Lord, when the devil throws his lies and tells us every stupid thing in the world, that, Lord, I can come to you for encouragement. Lord, I thank you that this week that you spoke to my heart and said, Reggie, get in the Bible. Get in the Bible. Reggie, call on me. Cry out to me. Reggie, speak the truth in your heart. Don't listen to his garbage. You got to know what he's up to. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you help me to come out of that hole of discouragement. I thank you, Lord, for the joy of the Lord. It's our strength. And Lord, tonight I pastor these people. And God, you've got to help them. I can't do it. I want them, Lord, to have courage. I don't want them, Lord, living in discouragement. I want them to have the joy of the Lord. I want them to run steady. I don't want them on the mountaintop all the time, and I don't want them down the valley. I just want them steady, Lord. And I pray that you help us to do that this week and all the days of our life. Help us to learn from David, God, that you can turn it around, that you can help us to recover all, that it's not all lost if we'll just turn to you and get encouraged in Christ, get encouraged in the Bible. And Lord, begin to talk to you, walk with you, get back to where we need to be. I thank you, Lord, for what you do in Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. Thank you for another good Sunday. And I pray, God, you help us to live and make this message a part of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.